Okay, everybody, welcome back to Dose of Reality Radio. I'm your host, Brian Stavely. Today, what we're doing is I am back to do another My Awakening interview. For those of you that aren't familiar with this, the Awakening interviews, what I'm doing is I'm just interviewing various people in the research communities, people that I talk to a lot on Facebook, or people that have, channels I like, or people that have been listening to the show, just regular people. People that I find interesting that talk about a lot of topics basically is what I want to do. So what I want to do is get everybody's personal story of how they, I don't even like the term, but quote unquote woke up or whatever, how they came to realize that, the steps they went through, how they dealt with it. And then later on we'll also get through, a little bit of each topic that they looked into. And then later at the end we'll do a little more back and forth. So at first I'm just getting everybody's story. Today I have Suzanne Borjo with me calling in from South Korea. Hey Suzanne, your mic's still muted, just so you know.
Okay. Hi. Thanks for having me, Brian. Good to talk with you.
Thank you for coming on, and sorry that it took a couple weeks to link up. But for people that don't know, we have a 13-hour time zone difference here. So that's why I'm doing an interview at 8 a.m. People think I'm probably nuts, but
Sorry.
no, it's all right. I don't mind. I don't mind. I'm used to bouncing times around. I do shows with James in New Zealand, Paul in the UK, and Gloria's here in Florida, but it's like everybody has different time zones. It makes everything wacky, wacky, wacky. But thank you for coming on. We'll
Yeah,
get right
thanks for
into
having
it. For me, it was different events, but for me, like 9/11 was my big one, and that's what really made me that the made me realize that the media and the government could not be trusted, and they're in cahoots. And that's kind of where I like to stop people, is like, what brought you to that point where you realize, and you could, like what brought you to that point where you realized, you couldn't trust the media or the government or both?
Well, definitely 9/11 was my big awakening. And then a lot of the health stuff, where there's supposed to be these regulatory agencies watching out for our best interests. And obviously, that's not true when we have aspartame and glyphosate and fluoride and vaccines and all this stuff that we're allowed to ingest on a daily basis. And the media, tells us nothing about it, and they promote it, and they're supported by it. But yeah, definitely 9/11 was my huge awakening. Before I woke up to the truth of 9/11, I was pretty much a sheeple. On 9/11, I was working as a flight attendant based out of Baltimore, and I had the day off, and I woke up around 9:15, turned on the TV as I normally do to CNN, and I saw the footage of the Twin Towers. And I was like, "Oh, what movie is this? I haven't seen this movie." I thought it was a movie, and it turns out it was. But I didn't know at the time. I thought it. So when I realized, "Oh, this is real! Oh my God!" I freaked out like everyone else. And for 6 years, I bought the official story. I was a zombie. I drank aspartame. I used fluoridated toothpaste. I was a sheeple through and through. And then, so after I lost my job as a flight attendant, shortly after 9/11, I came to Korea to teach English. And again, I was here for 6 years before I woke up. I got this job teaching adults at Samsung. And so it was 2003, and it was, no, yeah, about 2003. It was the anniversary of 9/11. And so I brought up the topic in my conversation class with my Samsung students. And one of the students said, there's this, maybe it was 2004. Anyway, he said, there's this video called Loose Change that kind of shows that maybe the government had something to do with 9/11 and it wasn't these Muslim hijackers. And I was like, really? And he said, yeah, you should look into it. I said, oh, okay, I will. But I didn't. But the name Loose Change, it just stuck in my head. And so I continued going through life. I got another job at a university across in another part of Korea. And my mom, she always sent me DVDs in care packages of my favorite TV shows because I was a TV-aholic. That's always a brain-dead zombie. So... So when I took this other job, I didn't have a TV and I was irate because I was like, what kind of job is this? I've always had a TV. Anyway, I was very upset. And so mom, being the loving person she was, she sent me my favorite TV shows on DVD. This was before YouTube was a big thing. Or at least before I really knew it was a big thing. And so this was 2007. And I ran out of DVDs that mom had sent me. But I did have my computer and YouTube. And so the name Loose Change just popped into my head. I was like, you know, I never did check out that video that my student told me about. Yeah. I don't know why I thought of it. I mean, this is 4 years later. But I typed it in, and sure enough, it came up. So I watched it, and my world just changed. I was like, oh, my God, I can't. And so then, you know, I researched Alex Jones, and I started listening to Alex Jones and Mike Rivero and all these truthers. And I thought, wow, I'm awake. This is awesome. And I got on the Ron Paul bandwagon, and I was researching the Constitution and how we need to get back to the Constitution and the CIA and drug smuggling and chemtrails. I was researching everything. I mean, it was like I was reborn and I was alive and I was excited. And I was like, oh my God, there's so much I don't know that I want to know. And so I became a researchaholic, and I changed my diet. I got off the aspartame. I researched GMOs, vaccines. I never ever got another vaccine, nor will I. And I got my sister so that she didn't vaccinate her last two children. Thank God. let's see. And what else? Okay, so I thought I was awake. I was much more awake than I had been, but, you know, yeah. I still believe the loose change.
Well, you fell into that web that everybody falls into, and it's all a matter of how long you stay there, you know? A lot of people I know. I'm getting feedback. Make sure you mute. Is your YouTube on? Do you have like the YouTube window on the channel to look at the chat? I'm hearing myself. You might have to get your headphones, your earbuds. Okay. Yeah, because I'm hearing a feedback. That's not going to work. One second, everybody. We're just going to change up the audio a little. Yeah, just put the earbuds
Sorry.
In. No, it's fine. Just make sure you can hear me. Let me know.
Okay. How's that?
Good. Good. Okay. So what happened is you fell into that web that everybody falls into, like the entry level gatekeeper type stuff. And then there's other levels of it and everything. And that was one of my next questions, actually. But when you said you got into the loose change, because loose change is a huge one for just about everybody in 9/11, everybody that researches it. It wasn't my first thing that I saw, but it was one of the first. When was that? 2007? 2007, you finally saw it?
Yeah, 2007.
So then that's when you started Alex Jones and all these other people. So when did you realize that there was these actual people that were gatekeeping in the alternative media presenting themselves as truthers? Because for me, it was hard because when I first woke up, you hear people like Alex Jones and these others shouting at the top of their lungs that 9/11 is an inside job. So automatically, you're going to gravitate towards these people, you know what I mean? And then for me, it was his agenda against no planes. And because by the time I got to hearing him bash it and call me a retard, not me by name, but no planers as a whole, all the stuff.
Okay.
I would have to think, to me, this is how I came past him. I was like, okay, well, I've only been researching this a year or so, and I know that there were no planes, and Alex Jones is like, people think he's like the leader of the truth movement or something. He has all this, all these teams of researchers, production staffs. How does he not know there's no planes? And that's when I started looking at everything he said, and I realized he's not only just mixing in lies with truth. It's like a big majority of lies, very, very little truth, just enough to beat you and to give you the fear. So for you, what was it that made you realize that you can't trust anybody, really? You can't trust these people, and you really got to use even extra discernment.
Well, unfortunately, I stayed in the Alex Jones camp for quite a while. I continued listening to Alex until Trump was running for office and he had Trump on, and I heard that interview and I was like, wow, he asked no real questions, and he's in that left-right paradigm, and I no longer am. And, you know, I listened to Alex off and on, and he'd take callers, but then if the caller said anything that he didn't agree with at all, he'd just cut them off, and then he'd go on a tirade. And I was like, you know, I wanted to hear what that person had to say. So it got to be just annoying, and I was like, well, he's not telling his listeners the truth, so I got turned off.
Could you imagine, you know, what would happen if you called up and you even used the words flat earth, no planes, Mandela effect, any of these things that we look into, he would automatically go off, hang up on you as quick as he could, or just mute you and talk over you.
Call you a schizophrenic. I know.
That's the trick that they do too when they attack you, because these type of people have done it to me. When they attack you, when you call in on a show like that, if you hit them with something they're not prepared for, they'll attack you and they'll like throw insults at you that you could respond to, but they'll have you muted and the audience won't know you're muted. So they'll think that this guy is just owning you in the conversation, and then they'll let you go. You know what I'm saying? That's how they do it. That's how Alex Jones. You can't say, there's a whole bunch of stuff you can't say on his show. So with the Trump thing, that's a good point, because he gets you to be all about against the system, this and that, but then he's pushing the right system that he tells you to be against.
Exactly. Yeah, I was, so just the way he treated his callers and the way he wouldn't listen to alternative ideas. It was just a total turnoff. But then, I got into the no planes thing. I'm not sure when, maybe 2008 or 2009, when Jim Fetzer started talking about it. Yeah. And I thought it sounded, very plausible. But then, Alex Jones wouldn't talk about it, and he shut people down. And John Lear, he talked about it. And John Lear, he sounds pretty credible. I mean, he's got a track record. I don't believe everything he says about aliens and stuff. But anyway, it sounded very plausible. I was like, it could have been holograms. So then I was on the hologram bandwagon for a while. And I even, did you ever hear interviews with Rebecca Roth?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I found her semi-credible. And so I listened to a few of her interviews, and I even bought her book, but I haven't read it. And then I found out that she was a CIA plant, and I was like, that figure, she kind of sounded, I don't know, she didn't really resonate with me. And then I got onto Judy Wood, and I never bought her book, but I did listen to several of her interviews, and I didn't like the way she carried herself in interviews. She sounded kind of pompous, but
I would agree with that.
I hope she's not listening. Doubtful. Anyway, so I thought, the way those buildings came down, the way they showed us the buildings came down, they turned to dust. I mean, what, those aren't incendiaries that turn a building to dust in 10 seconds. So if that happened, as we were shown, then it wasn't, what was that incendiary that
thermite?
Thermite. I never, it didn't, I was like, I mean, yeah, maybe thermite does burn hot, but those buildings came
Sure.
down in 10 seconds and turned to dust.
Like my co-host James always says, thermite, the term that they seem to have invented for 9/11, because nobody's ever even really heard thermite.
I
No.
hadn't. No.
Thermite,
Exactly.
thermite.
Yeah.
So where did you go from
So,
there? You're looking at the towers, the footage of the towers turning to dust.
And so I, Judy Wood, I thought, well, maybe the government, they do have these exotic weapons that can pulverize buildings in 10 seconds. It's possible. I don't know what they have. And then I was still considering the holograms theory. So they use holograms, and at the same time, they're using this weaponry from where? I don't know. I don't know. And then I heard you. Then you came along and blew my mind with the not only were there no planes, but there were no victims. And I was like, huh. And you made a lot of very good points. Like, I didn't know they had closed down some bridges, causing everyone to have to
Yeah.
cross just this once. So I didn't know about that. And I didn't know that there was a subway directly under this building, which would, create the foot traffic to where there are always a lot of people coming out of that building. I
Hundreds
didn't
of
know
thousands
that.
of people a day. And what would subway riders in the financial district of New York be dressed like? They'd be dressed like work in the
Exactly.
World Trade Center. And then when
Right.
you have real people have been there, and you do have real tourist attractions on the roof and businesses down bottom.
Yeah.
You have elevators that just skip huge portions of floors, and the people are not going to think about it. They're just going to think, "Hey, I don't work here," or whatever, or that's not my floor to work on. And people go down and they go to the restaurant and they come in and out and they go in and out the subway, and it's really the perfect place for an illusion like that. People think, how could you do that in the middle of New York? But in reality, with all the big buildings obstructing everything, how compartmentalized you can make everything from the fire departments to the police to the work to everything. It's really the perfect place for it. So how did
So
you hear
you
my
think,
9/11 stuff?
well, I started listening to your flat Earth stuff, and then I went back and dug back into your archives, and so I started listening to some of your 9/11 stuff, and I was like, oh wow, this is new to me. This is interesting. New take. And it makes sense.
And you've heard, you've
It's
probably
just
heard the
that.
calls that I've had. You've probably heard the calls that I've had with some of the people that you mentioned.
I heard you with Judy Wood.
Fetzer 3 times.
Yeah.
All right,
You
cool.
know, and after getting into Flat Earth, I've lost a lot of respect for Jim Fetzer because he won't even consider it. I mean, he knows that the moon landings were a hoax, but he won't consider Flat Earth. Makes me wonder. I lose a lot of respect for people who won't even look at it.
No, that's like the that those are like the litmus tests to me. When people, it's fine if people, okay, not everybody has the same amount of time as me or you or whoever. Everybody has different schedules. Not everybody can research more than one topic deep. But if you don't have time, don't bash the other topics until you look. I mean, that's it.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's it.
Well,
And then
it's. I'm sorry.
no, go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
Well, for something like 9/11, Flat Earth, it's like these people are exposed to this information. They play like they don't know. It's crazy to me. Like, come on, Fetzer. Like 100,000 people, not 100,000, but like 100 people haven't brought up Flat Earth to you. You're not seeing it everywhere. Like, you don't question any of it. You know NASA's fake, but you won't at least question the other information they present. Doesn't make any sense.
Well, I mean, he's a diehard atheist. He's for abortion. I mean, so it doesn't. Oh, and he wrote a book about evolution. So there you go. He's completely brainwashed into scientism.
Yeah.
So I've lost a lot of respect for that guy.
I did
And
after
Mike
the.
Rivero. Ugh.
Yeah, he's a fraud.
Yeah.
Okay.
I've come to that conclusion as well.
Yeah, I never really followed him, but I remember him from the 9/11 days, you know. Okay, so let's back it up for a second, right? Because I want to bounce more topics, and we'll come back to 9/11 for sure. 9/11's, you know, my bread and butter for a long time. Woke up to loose change in 2007-ish. How long after that till you woke up to the health issues, or was that before? Like realizing that the food's bad, the GMO, chemtrails, this type of thing.
I think it was 9/11 and then health and then chemtrails and vaccines, the HIV/AIDS lie. As soon, it's like total rebirth, and I just went crazy researching everything I heard about. So it's hard to keep everything straight in my mind what I researched first. Because I was pretty much researching all this stuff at one time.
Yeah, of course. Well, you see that 9/11's a lie right there, and then once you, especially when you get to know planes, then you know the media is complicit. That's it. That's why they hide that, because all their illusions in society are portrayed through the media. Whether it's, you know, sometimes a lot of us will say, "Oh, NASA is the biggest enemy to humanity," and they are, but so is the media. I mean, the media is probably even more, honestly, the influence the media has. So once you realize that there's no planes, see, because that's my problem with the hologram argument too versus the CGI. Because the hologram argument that Professor tries to put forth, that lets the media off the hook. Because if there are holograms in New York that people saw, the street reporters saw it with their own eyes too, and they're filming what they think. Whereas if it's CGI in the video and the media is putting it out, it shows you the media is complicit. And then maybe you'll be like me and go that extra step. Well, if they fake the planes, what else did they fake? Unfortunately, most people won't do that. So that's and that's why Alex Jones, I say, is a gatekeeper of the he's actually a gatekeeper for the mainstream media. He really is. He's protecting them with the attack against no planes, his fanboy status with NASA. So after 9/11, all this, you get into other topics. Like for me, I started with 9/11 in 2010, and I did it for many years. But in about 2012, I got into the moon landing, and then Sandy Hook happened. So it was like these bullshit shootings. NASA. What did you look at next for a big topic? Was it NASA? Was it Sandy Hook? What was it?
Well, yeah, the Boston bombing, Sandy Hook, and then the Orlando nightclub and the Las Vegas. So all these false flags with crisis actors. As soon as I knew that there were actual crisis actors, then I looked at footage that reporters were putting out with these supposed victims or victims' brothers and sisters, and I watched. And yeah, I was like, this person's acting. They're not acting like someone who just lost a brother or a son or so as soon as I realized that, then anything I heard, any big shooting, I was like, yep, I'm not buying it. I guess I became a, what's it called, where you automatically think everything is a false flag before you even research it? An auto hoaxer.
Whatever that is, I'm one of them. So,
Okay, well, I'm there with you. I automatically take it as a false flag, and then you must prove that it actually happened.
yeah, well, that's the greatest point because that's what I tell people for two reasons. For one, they are the little boy who cried wolf at this point. And for two, along with that comes the burden of proof, and the burden of proof is certainly on them. I mean, that's not
Absolutely.
anything. And you know, like the Sandy Hook was the for me, the Sandy Hook and the out of everything I've looked into, you want to take any topic that we talked about, all the conspiracies, the fake shootings, anything, Apollo and Sandy Hook are the easiest to see that they're fake. I mean, it took me a weekend with both at the most because they're just so awful.
The Boston bombing too.
Oh yeah, drive-by pressure cooker bombings. Oh man, that was bad.
Well, and the guy being pushed in the wheelchair with both of his legs supposedly blown off, and there's no blood, and he's sitting upright and he's coherent. Yeah. Not going to
Jeff
happen.
Bauman.
Right.
Yeah, that was a good one. That was a good one.
And
So,
the heroic cowboy.
Yep. Sorry, my dogs are barking.
No worries.
What was I going to say next? So, I know eventually, because you even told me you found my 9/11 stuff from looking at my flat Earth stuff. So when did you look into flat Earth? Or was it the moon landing first? And if it was, like it was for a lot of people, when did you first look into the moon landing with a skeptical eye?
I'd say maybe 2008 or 9, shortly after I woke up, I heard people talking about the moon landing hoax, and I can't really say I looked at it in depth. I just listened to I love to listen to interviews. So I listened to several podcasts on it, and they made a lot of very credible points. And then I heard about astronauts gone wild, and I watched most of that. And what was the other one by the same filmmaker? Astronauts Gone Wild and darn. Oh well. Anyway.
Wild. It was a funny thing happened on the way to the moon is the title. That
Right.
predecessor, then Astronauts Gone Wild was like the reaction to that in the sequel. That's when he got punched in the face, was in Astronauts Gone Wild.
Oh, okay. So I did listen. I'm sorry.
Now that you brought that up, that's another person that kind of aggravates me now too, is Bots de Brel had those great
Right.
memories on the moon, and he claims to be a hardcore Christian, and he doesn't want to even talk about the flat Earth stuff. He even put a disclaimer in one of his videos, like I forget what it was, but he said I don't believe in the flat Earth something something because it must have came up in a topic on one of his videos. So right in the description underneath it, he put like, disclaimer how he absolutely does not believe in that. And I'm just like so disappointed because the moon landing stuff is so good. And it's like, dude, out of anybody, like you are the moon landing hoax guy. How can you not? It's like you're over here analyzing why harnesses the 1960s footage and you don't see all of this shit.
I don't get it either. It's very
Right.
disheartening. And
You looked
then,
into the moon land nine. How long did it take you to realize that it was that they didn't go, or at least the footage you were being shown was totally fake?
it didn't take long. I mean, if you look at it with a critical eye and an open mind, it's there's a backdrop, there's a line separating the stage from the backdrop. There are multiple light sources. There are reflections in helmets. There's a waving flag. I mean, a lot of. And then just looking at the moon lander, it's a bit. I could build that thing. It's obvious tinfoil and duct tape.
Yeah, it's
And
crazy.
then if you, yeah.
It looks like a black ripped construction paper.
It looks so bad. Yeah, so I don't know. Once I woke up, I had an eye for deception and I saw it everywhere. It was amazing. So it didn't take me so I brought up the moon landing thing to my brother, and my brother, he woke up before I did. And he tried to wake me up by giving me books that I didn't read and by just dropping remarks here and there. And I just thought, little conspiracy nut, and let him go on his way. But then, yeah, so I brought that up to my brother, and he was like, well, what does it matter if we went to the moon or not? I mean, if. So what if we, I was like, well, I just don't like being lied to. And if we didn't go, why? It bothers me. I don't like being lied to. But then, I was researching so many other things. It didn't really take center stage with me. I was like, okay, well, that's another lie, but I'm moving on. But then when I got to the flat Earth, I brought that up to my brother. And I wanted him to watch Marty Leeds' The Ultimate Litmus Test, which I thought was excellent. And he did, but he wasn't convinced. And he watched a couple other videos that I sent him, and he was like, it's too big of a conspiracy. There's no, he says, I think this is disinformation that they're putting out to divide truthers. And I
Oh,
was
yeah,
like,
always say. That's what we always say. Oh, this is a psyop to discredit the truth movement about everything I've ever learned, pretty much.
Yeah, well, it's disheartening. I mean, he's awake to so much, but he just doesn't get it. And I'm like, look at this. I mean, look how fake. Look at these pictures. They're not even the same. The pictures of Earth. And then Neil deGrasse Tyson, he says it's more pear-shaped, or it's an obloid spheroid, but we're getting all these perfect circular images from NASA, and the continents are different sizes, and then we get these live feeds where the clouds don't move, and then the Earth is supposedly doing all of these spins and twirls and tilts and wobbles, and we see the same constellations year after year, century after century. It's just common sense. And then they tell us that the sun is 93 million miles away. Do you think you can't see an eye chart from 20 meters away, and you think you can see something that's 93 million miles away? Drives me insane. It's common sense.
It's
Sorry, I get
people think they can see detail too, and on the moon too, which is way obviously by their numbers way closer.
I know.
Even at 237,000 miles, people think they can see craters on the moon with their naked eye. And like, oh, it's obviously not that far. If you can see, how do you think you can see a land feature from 237,000 miles away? Like, who do you think you are, Connor?
Exactly. Well, and then they say that the moon phases are caused by the reflection of sunlight, but if the moon is brighter at night when the sun is on the other side of the Earth, how is it reflecting sunlight?
Yeah, how do we have half moons and all this in the daytime in the sky? If they could somehow be in the sky, like say as it gets closer to when like an eclipse would happen or whatever, so they're getting closer in their paths or whatever, like it would have to be fully lit or not. It can't be half lit from the sun as it's facing it. It doesn't even make any sense.
I know, but people, they don't think of these things. I think common sense has gone. Some people are lacking it.
What was your introduction into Flat Earth? What was your introduction? Like, what was the first big thing for you?
Okay, well, I always listen to podcasts while I'm doing my exercises, and I was listening to Truth Frequency Radio, and it was April 2015, and Mark Sargent was not on the air yet. He had just made his eighth clue or something, and Chris and Sheree Geo of Truth Frequency Radio, they decided to have Mark on to talk about flat Earth. And all the other hosts, they were saying, I can't believe they're gonna have a flat earther on. They're gonna destroy the network. And I was like, well, I better listen to that. It's controversial. And so I listened as I was exercising with an open mind, and I thought it was ridiculous too, but I was like, well, it'll be entertaining if nothing else. And so I listened, and about half an hour in, I was like, ooh, wow, this guy's making a lot of sense. So I watched all of his clues, and then I was searching online for Flat Earth anything, and I came across Eric Dubay, and so I bought his book, and then I listened to several Eric Dubay interviews, and I went to IFRS, and I was reading up on anything I could find there, and I found more books and from the 1800s and early 1900s, printed those out, like Zetetic Astronomy, Zetetic Cosmogony, Heaven and Earth, Kings Dethroned, So I read all those books and I was thirsting for more, and I was just listening to all kinds of interviews and YouTubes, and I was obsessed. And I started looking at the moon and noticing all of these anomalies and I started actually seeing the world that's been right in front of my eyes my entire life. And again, I was reborn. I was like a child. I couldn't get enough. And it was just so exciting. And I'm still excited about it. I still want to learn more. I don't know how the sun works and the moon and the exact shape of our world. And is there a dome? I kind of think there is, because it kind of would explain rainbows and how there's air pressure. And you can't really have air pressure if there's no container. So anyway, yeah. And I told, as soon as I discovered Flat Earth, I told my best friend, teacher friend here, who's also American, I told her after we had dinner one night, I was like, you'll never guess what I'm researching. Flat Earth. And she got a smile because she's a conspiracy nut too. I won't say her name, but she knows who she is. And so she laughed and got a big smile. And so I told her all the reasons why, and she was intrigued. And so she went to the Flat Earth conference with me here in South Korea, a year ago.
Yeah. Conference was. I didn't know you went there. That's really good. So you said you teach English in South Korea, right? So then obviously you're fluent in both languages then, obviously.
No?
Oh, okay. What is the what would you say is the flat earth type movement is like in South Korea? Is there a YouTube South Korea? Do they have YouTube? They have a similar service? And if there is there a lot of videos? What's going on over there?
Well, I did discover, I found a couple YouTube channels that have flat earth videos. And the guy who arranged the conference, he's Korean, and he does a lot on flat earth. And there were about 200 Koreans there at the conference, and that was awesome to see. A country of 45 million or 47 million. Anyway, I don't think it's very big here. I've talked about it with some of my Korean friends, and they laugh and they listen, but they're not buying it.
Why don't you give people a little taste though? And I tend to think it's pretty much probably the same worldwide. But what's the media indoctrination like there on the population? The same as the U.S.? Just as bad with the TV, the movies, the products, the music? It's all the same, right? Just different.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Really? Yeah, same indoctrination. They get the same news that we get. The Boston bombing was on TV here. Yeah, the same lies, I think, are spread worldwide.
Yeah.
And in school, too. Same indoctrination.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Do you guys have the... Okay, for instance, in school, obviously they're going to do the same type of idea. They're going to indoctrinate everybody. But even the history books and whatnot parallel each other, like Korea's school system, their take on American history would be the same as the American school system take on American history. Is it just like the same? The same bullshit stories?
I'd have to say pretty much, but to be honest, I haven't really asked what they learn about American history. I should. I haven't really looked into that. I haven't asked. Darn. I ought to. But yeah, I mean, they think America helped them in the Korean War, and I guess we did, but we kind of started the Korean War. And Russia, we decided to divvy up their country that was getting along fine. And then They highly regard Americans and America, the land of opportunity, the land of the free. And I'm like, no, you have no idea. We are not free. We are slaves. Whatever you see in the movies, those are movies. It's not reality. Go live there and then tell me how great America is. I mean, I love my country. I grew up there and I had a great childhood and I love the country I grew up in. But it is not that country anymore. It is very, very different, especially after 9/11.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, we try and keep these to about an hour, so we're gonna try and wrap it up in about 15 minutes, okay? So I want to hit a
Fine.
couple more topics, a couple more. We can go a little over if we have to. You obviously see what I post about, and you see the topics I post about, and there's obviously a big one we haven't mentioned yet. What are your thoughts on the Mandela effect?
Okay. Well, I heard about the Mandela effect first from Melissa Melton, now Melissa Dykes. She did a quick, like, 9-minute video about how her Berenstain Bears book was no longer EIN at the end of Berenstain, but was now Berenstain. And I was like, no way, because I used to love those books growing up. But I don't have any. However, one of my coworkers, he has children. And so I said, do you happen to have any Berenstain Bears books? And how do you spell Berenstain, by the way? And he said, he wasn't sure about the beginning part of his, he was like, isn't it EIN? And I was like, yeah, I think so. Well, not anymore. Go home, find your books, and take a picture and send me the cover. And he did, and it was AIN. I was like, notice the spelling, it's changed. And he freaked out. He was like, wow. I was like, yeah, I know. And then I heard about how the Bible verse, oh, I have it written down. The one about the lion and the lambs shall lie down
Yeah,
together.
Isaiah
And
11,
I
six.
Okay, thank you. Isaiah 11, 6. Yeah. So I grew up Catholic and I don't know the Bible very well. But I did know that verse and I did know that it was all I had a figurine of the lions lying down with the lambs. And so I knew that Bible verse, even though I can't quote it now. And so I went to my Bible, which I had to dust off because I don't open it. And I opened it to, let's see, Isaiah 11, 6. I have it marked. Okay, so this is what version? Well, it's a Catholic Bible, but the New American Bible. It says, then the wolf shall be a guest of the lamb. And the leopard shall lie down with the kid. Wolf and leopard, no lion. And I was like, wow. I don't know when I got this Bible, but that kind of freaked me out. And then you were talking about C-3PO, how now he supposedly has a silver leg, and I knew he always was just total gold. What else? Well, and recently you showed R2D2, which has two weird wires on his feet now. And
What about JFK or South America? Those ones resonate with you at all? Or you remember them the way they are now?
so JFK, you mean where there's like a double windshield in the car.
There's a
Yeah, I
double
never.
now and six people. Do
No,
you?
I never remembered that
Yeah, there
at
was
all.
four where I grew up. And the whole Zapruder film is different now because there were all these theories before how the driver maybe shot JFK. And I don't believe the film. The film's bunk anyways, but how the driver shot JFK and he reached back like this. You couldn't see a gun, but in the footage you would see him do that. That's not even in the footage now. And he couldn't even do that now because there's that extra barrier in his way. There's an extra windshield. And to think that people say, oh, you're just misremembering or whatever. It's one thing to misremember a car. You don't misremember a car that a president was shot in that also had two windshields, which is absolutely ridiculous. You would not mistake that and forget about it and think it was a four-seater.
Yeah, exactly. No, I mean, that wasn't a big one for me, but yeah, I don't ever recall seeing two windshields in any of the footage.
What about Ed McMahon or stuff?
So
Ed McMahon,
yeah, I.
right? What about Ed McMahon? Does that one resonate with you?
Oh yeah. I always knew Ed McMahon and the Publishers Clearing House. Of course. I mean, we used to we'd get Publishers Clearinghouse things in the mail, and we'd send them in, and we'd be so excited. Oh, maybe this year, maybe this year. Maybe Ed McMahon is going to knock on our door.
That's a
Oh,
good one. Go ahead.
and I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
Sara Lee. Nobody does it like Sara Lee. And now it's supposedly nobody doesn't like Sara Lee.
It's a double negative.
Yeah.
I tell people all the time, if we walked around singing jingles and songs the way they are now with the Mandela effect, quoting the Bible the way it is now, all the other things, we would sound like complete idiots.
Well, maybe not, because maybe everyone else remembers it the way we do too.
Well, yeah, well, on some, that's why I think it's affecting everybody, because some of the big ones, like even people that are oblivious to it, when you tell people the C-3PO, they'll come up with a million excuses why it's Lake Silva. Now they'll try and tell you it's a reissue, a remaster, you know, all that's bunk.
Yeah.
But I still haven't really heard many people ever say, oh, his leg was always silver. Everybody knows it was always gold. So it's a big one for me.
Oh.
Yeah, it's a big one for me. So it's a pretty fascinating topic though, huh? How things in your reality and your past can literally change around you. It's pretty much the most mind-boggling thing I've come across.
You froze up for a bit, but are we okay now?
Yeah, we're okay. You froze for a second.
Oh, okay. We both froze.
Yeah, sorry about that. No, I was just saying that whole Mandela effect is like the most mind-boggling thing, 'cause your personal possessions are changing. You know, it's not just like you go online and watch something, or you buy a movie at the store and somebody's playing a trick on you. Like when these things happened last week with Star Wars, for each one of them, the Princess Leia, the R2-D2, the new thing with the Stormtroopers, I pop my movies in every time and check them, and they've all changed. My Superman's changed with the Christopher Reeves, Forrest Gump's changed, Terminator Judgment Day, all my movies have changed, you know? And there's nobody sneaking in here.
So are these VHSs? Are they DVDs?
I have DVDs, and I have most of them are on my physical hard drive, but I do have a lot of
Okay.
some DVDs too. At one point, I had three different versions of Star Wars on me when the C-3PO change happened a couple years ago. I checked them all, and he's silver in all of them. I put screenshots up too from my movies. So people are like, oh, well, check your movies. I'm like, I did. I checked them before I even tell you that it's changed in every one of them. And look at, boom. It's crazy. It's crazy. And it's just accelerating and accelerating all the time. But besides all of that, what other topics do you like? You like the health, the 9/11, the Mandela effect, the flat earth. Is there anything else?
Well, recently you introduced me to the sun simulator, and when I first saw it on your Facebook page, I was like, well, that's interesting, but I don't know. I mean, how would they do that? Why would they do that? How would they pull that off? So I just kind of pa passed it by. But then the other day, I got some pictures, like a series of 200 pictures from my sister who just moved to Arizona. So she went hiking and she took all these photos. And I was just scrolling through, blah, 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 going through them quickly. But this one caught my eye. I don't know if we can do a screen share.
Yeah,
I
we can.
have it up on. How do
Yeah.
we do that? I've never done that.
So take your cursor and scroll it to the left side of the window, and you'll see a green arrow. See the green arrow? Click
Yeah.
that, and then click you know, just share your screen to present or whatever. There's probably a button to start it, maybe at the bottom.
Share. Okay, am I sharing?
No, not yet.
One
Anything.
more time, share. Oh.
If it doesn't work, you can send the pictures into my Facebook inbox and I'll share them. I mean,
Okay, I think. But it's not sharing.
it's all right, just send them to me. Make it easier. Just send them to
Okay.
my Facebook.
Send them to your Facebook.
Yeah, send them to my Facebook.
All right. It's just one picture, and it's pretty. It's not like any sun I've ever seen. Okay. Going to your Facebook to
Yep.
Brian Staley. Okay. Photo. All right. Sorry.
It's okay.
Sun simulator, okay. And I just sent it.
All right. Let's see, I'm just waiting for it to pop up. I don't have it yet.
Yeah. Maybe it's my computer too slow. Well, darn.
Well, anyways, what did you see in the picture? And when it pops up, I'll grab it.
Well, it's just a picture of the sun over the mountaintops, and there's a cloud, and the sun, it's shaped like a hexagon. It's
Oh, just like
hexagonal.
yep. Just like I keep telling people, check your pictures and you'll see the hexagon shape of the sun.
Yeah, I
We have.
had never seen it like that, but it totally caught my eye, and I was like, oh my gosh, that's just like the pictures I saw Brian posting. So, but if there is a sun simulator, then what happened to the real sun?
I don't know, and I have there's a couple ideas. And is it, hold on, let me stop sharing my screen here so people can see my face. I don't know. Like, there's a possibility that they put it up there to my one of my main theories is they put it up there to, whatever the sun gives us. A lot of people think vitamin D and all this, but I think it's much deeper than that. I think our consciousness is maybe connected to the sun and each other.
Yeah.
Maybe they want to block that out. I also think this is going off a little bit to the side, but I also think that's the actual agenda behind chemtrails, maybe, is to mask things in the sky and put metals in the air that impede our collective consciousness from connecting. I can't prove that. That's just an idea. But if that's the case, I think the real sun is probably in a layer of the firmament, and they've placed this thing out in front of it to basically filter the light through it and do whatever they need to do to it to reduce it, take out whatever they want to do to whatever it is. Or there is no real sun, and there's just the artificial sun. Did the real sun burn out? Was it ever there? I don't know. You know what I mean? I don't know, but I do know, in my opinion, there's something physical up there that's artificial. Is it in front of the real one? Is it in place of it? I don't know. And I would tend to think that there's multiple ones. Because one of them, one of the main problems people have is, well, how does it just stay up there? And I'll say, well, it probably doesn't. If you put it up there like a plane and you fly it on a path, guess what? When it's dark out, it's off, so nobody's looking at the sun. You can land it in a rural area. Put another one up, and you can just go in a pattern like this. You can land them, put fuel in them, maintenance them, whatever you got to do, and another one takes up, flies for an hour, 2 hours, however long it is around that path that the sun goes at night while the moon's lit and the sun's dark. So nobody's seeing this plane or whatever it is, carrying, the lenses, whatever you want to call it, this propelled object. Nobody's seeing it. It's nighttime, the lights are off, and it lands, and then another one goes up, and they just swap them out. Would be pretty.
Well, however, it's always sunlight somewhere on this earth. Like when it's dark for you, it's sunlight for me.
No. I know that. I know that the places that will have the sunlight would have their simulator up, but the places where it's dark,
Yeah.
that's the time they can
Right,
land,
right.
do maintenance, and they just keep it going up in a path. So the sun
Yeah.
always maintains that path as it's being pulled along the path you would expect it to be on. But say the sun's here, say the sun's over you in Korea on its path, the solar simulator. Well, for me, it's dark. That's normal. So our solar simulator would land. refuel, get maintenance. Another one would go up in California, maybe circle around to Russia, circle, you know what I'm saying? And they keep coming down and up, and nobody would see, and they could maintenance them. They wouldn't have to maintenance them in the air. You don't need any crazy anti-gravity technology or anything. I mean, you could just have it like a plane.
Yeah, that's true.
Or it could be a balloon suspended. I don't know. There's a lot of ways they could do it, but it's not impossible. People think it's impossible. If you really think outside the box, there's a lot of ways they could do it.
Mm-hmm. So did you find a patent or something?
Oh, I found lots of patents. I found these patents like 4 years ago. There's a lot of patents. Boeing, mm-hmm. Bausch & Lomb, NASA, and a few other companies have tons and tons of patents. And I don't just mean like, okay, I know people could say, well, maybe it's like a red herring. Why would there be patents for the solar simulator? But it's not like they just spent a couple of hours, put together a patent. There's patents for every component that make up that thing, from the lenses to some of the electronics to everything. And there's not, I don't want to say an operations procedure manual, but there kind of is. There's a manual you can look that tells you that this is going to be used for putting sunlight on large areas, like in more technical terms, I'm paraphrasing, but it's really crazy when you read through it. And then, you know, when I first started looking at it, you know, you see the diagrams of it before you even see the actual photos that are claimed to be of it. You see the diagrams of it. It's all that hexagonal shape and stuff. And then this is exactly what I've been noticing in the sky. And I don't even have a camera. I'm looking at other people's footage. Plus what I've noticed with my eyes sometimes, I have taken pictures with my phone of the hexagonal sun. So I tell people that are so against the idea, I'm like, listen, you're a photographer, because in flat earth, you know, lots of people that are actually photographers or people that are really good with their cameras and, you know, they're amateur photographers.
Yeah.
And I'll tell them, just, you don't have to believe me, but go through all of your pictures of the sun. And you're going to find a lot of them that have a very defined hexagonal shape. It's not like it's just the lights reflecting one way. It doesn't really look
like
you can see it's like a stop sign. You know what I mean?
Yes. That's the picture I got from my sister. Of course, it went right over her head. But as soon as I saw it, I was like, oh, my gosh. It does exist.
Yeah, so the good thing about it, though, now is now there are people that have been videotaping it, and they have been corroborating their footage worldwide. There's a few channels that have some really good stuff. So, like, a few years ago, there wasn't really footage that I could show people, but now some people have taken some really good footage of it glitching out, doing all sorts of crazy stuff that a natural, what we know of as a natural sun, just it couldn't do.
Really? Glitching out?
Yeah, like you can see it flashing, or you can see the centerpiece of it spinning, the black and white centerpiece you can see spinning in a lot of it. There's been footages where it looks like it's pulsating, and there's another video where you can actually, very vaguely, but for a few seconds, you can almost see the physical makeup of part of it where the actual light is coming out.
Wow, I need to really research this. This is interesting.
It's pretty crazy. How could they have an artificial? So everything they've been telling you has been a lie so far. Why is that? Why is that off the table? Because people want to hang on to the idea. So you know gravity is fake, and you know the sun isn't a burning ball of gas millions of miles away. But you think it's crazy for me to suggest to you that it's not some sort of spin a sphere floating up there being suspended by some force that we don't know. Well, I'm telling you, that's probably not true either. That's probably not what it is. It's, you know,
well, I mean, the natural sun maybe is, but yeah, I don't know, the sun I've been seeing recently, it doesn't look so natural.
do you ever sit out in the sun to tan? A lot of people, since the sun, and the sun also has a white look to it now, like an artificial light. It doesn't look yellow like it used to. And that's an artificial light, in my opinion. And people can't sun gaze like they could before. And it's been affecting people's skin a lot different. When they sit out in the sun for like 20 minutes as opposed to a few hours, they end up with rashes and stuff. I mean, there's a lot to think about with it. There's a lot to think about with it.
Wow.
So I want to ask you a couple of questions before we wrap it up, okay?
Okay.
How has your awakening gone for you as far as trying to I kind of know because you mentioned your brother. How has it gone with you and family, close friends, stuff like that, with you trying to bring these things up to them? And how have they treated you, even if you don't try and bring it up to them? Are you like the black sheep of the family type of thing?
The black sheep, but yeah, I'm kind of the conspiracy theorist, and they think of me as a little out there and maybe a little crazy. But they still love me. I can't say I've really lost any friends over it. Fortunately, I mean, I post whatever I want on my Facebook page and people like it or they don't, but yeah, I can't say it's negatively affected me thus far, knock on wood. Well, except with my sister. My sister, she's still a sheeple. She won't be listening to this, I know. Yeah, she's in the military. She trusts everything the government says and does, and the government can do no wrong, and she votes every election. And I mentioned some things to her and it did not go well, and so I just learned, don't talk about anything of value with your sister. But and then both of my parents have passed away, but before they passed, well, before I woke up to Flat Earth, mom had passed, but I did talk to her about political stuff and we disagreed, but she listened and she didn't call me crazy. And then dad, I did, he passed a few months after I got into Flat Earth, and I mentioned it to him and he thought, he's like, oh, Susie, don't be ridiculous. What did he say? How can pl I think he was like, how can planes fly around the world if it's
Oh, yeah.
flat, and the typical comebacks. And I was like, well, Dad, you know, you can fly around in a circle above a flat surface. You don't have to fly around a ball. But he just thought it was kind of crazy. But he still loved me. It hasn't really caused any arguments, and I haven't lost any friends. And three of my friends have also become pretty much flat earthers, and I'm happy about that.
It's good because it's good to have real friends that you've known to be able to actually talk about it with. Because I don't have many. Flat Earth for like 4 years. There's only a couple people I can talk to, and I haven't had the same. I don't want to say luck, but it's been a lot harder for me with people in my family. So I'll get another time, or I've already have. So what are your goals into research? And is it just a personal knowledge? Is it to spread the knowledge? Is it something else? Is it something spiritual? Like, what are your goals for doing what you do?
Well, it is spiritual. I do want to know where I live and the nature of reality and where we come from and where we're going after this realm. What our purpose is here. Yeah. But then it is for my own edification. I like to learn. I like to know, and I don't like being lied to. And so I just want to learn as much as I can. And I speak my truth. I don't hold my tongue, and I just let other people know what I believe, and spread knowledge where I can as an educator.
Yeah,
Yeah.
I do it a lot because I don't like being lied to. That's a big part of it for me.
Exactly.
It's kind of it's a personal thing for me too. Like I don't
Yeah.
like being lied to, and there's just so many lies to go through. It's never ending. I can't know somebody's not just I can't know somebody's lying to me and not do nothing about it. Like okay, if Joe Schmo down the street is lying to me, whatever. But if the government, the media, and the education systems are lying to me, well, now we have a big effing problem. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. Brainwashing everyone, lying to everyone, stealing billions of dollars while doing it, and doing Lord knows what with it. Yeah, it makes me
What's
angry.
Yeah, no, it makes me real. I get real fired up sometimes. It makes me angry. What steps would you like to see people take? Like,
Well, children personally don't have any children, but if you do, you should teach them the truth and homeschool if you can. Get them out of the government indoctrination centers. And I wrote a Flat Earth children's book, but
how can we read
just
that? How can we see it? Is it online? Do people pay for it? Is it on Amazon? How do we check out your book?
well, there's a free video book on my YouTube channel if you just search my name, Suzanne Borrow. You can go to my YouTube channel and there's a free video book of it, or it's on Amazon or Lulu. It's called Granny Knows the Earth is Round, dot dot dot, and flat.
That's awesome. That's awesome that you have a children's book, because there's not a lot of children's stuff out there for Flat Earth at all. I've heard this mentioned many times, and there's really not. I didn't know to have your link handy, but I want to put your link to the book in the show notes. Can you make sure you give it to me as soon as we're off?
Sure. Thank you. Yeah, that would be great.
Do you have it handy that you could throw it in the chat right now? No, you know what? Don't even worry. We'll just throw it in the show notes. You guys that are listening right now, just come back and, an hour after the video, whatever, not even, 20 minutes after the video, I'll have her link in the show notes. Anybody that's watching this on the replay, you guys will see it. Just go down to the show description, show notes, whatever you call it, and the link for her children's material will be in there. That's really cool. And if there's any other links you want to leave for people to contact you, if you have any websites or your Facebook page or any groups you want to plug, just make sure you let me know. If there's anything you know now, we can just tell people. But if you think of it after, we'll put your URLs or whatever in the show.
Yeah, thank you. No, I mean, if anyone wants to friend me on Facebook, I can use all the open-minded friends that I can get. So you can just search my name on Facebook. It's just Suzanne Borrow. I'm on Twitter, but I don't really use it. So Facebook is the
I'm on
way
Twitter, but I only use it when I'm banned from Facebook.
to. I haven't used it in years. I used to be a Twitter freak when I first woke up. I was twittering every day, like every Alex Jones article that came out, tweet. But now I don't really use it. Just Facebook. But I'm on Facebook every day, and yeah, anyone who wants to friend me, I'd love to have more friends.
All right, I'm going to ask you one more question and then we're going to close it out, okay?
Yeah.
Why did you decide to come on this show and do this interview?
Well, so I've been waking up to all these things, and I don't talk about them to a lot of people, just to like maybe three of my closest friends who are also awake and my brother. And I have so much inside of me that I wanted to express and talk about. And so I heard some of your other interviews with other people, hearing their background stories and how they woke up, and I love hearing those stories. And I thought, well, I don't know, maybe someone would be interested in hearing my story. So I contacted you and asked if you'd be willing to allow me to get my story out and just talk about some of these things that have been building up inside of me. Because, yeah, there's just so much, and I just love to share and to meet like-minded people. So hopefully some other like-minded people will reach out to me. Uh-oh, you froze. Did I freeze? Uh-oh. Can you hear me? We froze.
Bounce back in here. Oh, there you are. You froze up for about 30 seconds. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you did too. I was like, uh-oh.
If you can just backtrack to that point.
Oh, to what point?
Like 30 seconds ago when you cut out. Well,
Actually, I think.
you were saying you did the interview because you really liked the other people's stories and you thought that you could put your story out there. So you would say that my idea for doing these interviews is working. It's getting other people to listen and share, and it's kind of made you want to share your story too. So.
Yeah, I think it's a great series, and I love hearing other people's ideas and other people's takes and experiences. I love what you're doing, and you're a great researcher. I mean, I'm not a researcher. I gather other people's ideas and I take them in and I think about them and I reject what doesn't ring true to me. And so
That's still research, by the way.
thank you. I guess so, sort of. Yeah. But it's for my own edification. But I mean, you're on the front lines. You're digging in. You go to records. You look up patents, and then you share that information with people like me, and I spread it all around. So I'm not really a researcher. I'm a gatherer of ideas and information.
Okay. If that's what you want to call it. But thank you. I appreciate that. All right. Well, I want to come in on. For everybody that's listening, this is the 12th episode in this series that we're doing, the My Awakening. You'll find this on my main channel, Brian S. Stavely. This is airing on the backup right now. I have a few weeks left on my ban, but on my main channel, Brian S. Stavely on YouTube, you'll see the playlist that says My Awakening interviews, and they're all there. This interview will be there, and normally I do shows pretty much every Saturday, and those are all on the Dose of Reality playlist on the Brian S. Stavely channel. We usually do about a 3-hour show every Saturday. We just did one Saturday on the Sumerians and the Mandela Effect, and just a whole bunch of other stuff. And we talk about a lot of these talk all the topics that we've talked about today. We talk about on my show. It's not just a one topic show. But I want to thank Suzanne for coming on.
Oh, thank you, Brian. I
Thank
really
you.
enjoyed it. Thanks for giving me this voice.
No problem. And when I hang up, if you can, as soon as you can, shoot me the links so I can put your information, your Flat Earth book and stuff. I want to get it in the description. ASAP.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Brian. It's been a great pleasure. Uh-oh, we froze. We froze. Uh-oh. Oh boy. Ryan?